Two Sports Month exclusive interview here with Neil Brand, the new head coach of the Idaho Steelheads. If you follow the show, we talked to Brett up at the end of the year, and I mentioned that we were going to try and come back and get Neil to recap last season. Never got back to that. This one might be a little bit better, though, as Neil Graham, after Brad Ralph resigned a couple weeks ago, is now the head coach of the Idaho Steelheads. First of all, Neil, congratulations on the promotion. I guess welcome to the big office right next door to the little office there.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. I appreciate you coming down to chat today.
Take us through the process. It was a three-day whirlwind for anyone kind of outside of the in the know. And, of course, the way these things work is the announcements and behind-the-scenes stuff all kind of happened over a course of time. But outside looking at it, it was 3 days from resignation to your getting appointed a job or being hired as a head coach. Kind of take us through those few days and kind of getting everything together, organized, and moving forward.
Yeah, no, obviously, we're very excited for Brad, and it's a big opportunity for him and his career. And like you said, it happened quickly. Once he went up to Kelowna, it wasn't a very long process. Things moved quickly, and same thing on our end. I was fortunate enough to be able to meet with Eric Trapp and John Cunningham and our ownership group more or less immediately, and kind of give them my thoughts on the way I'd manage my team and dressing room and kind of go from there. And fortunately, the process moved quickly. It was announced on Friday, I believe it was, and I've been hard at work ever since. So it all happened quick, but it's been going good.
I mean, in fairness, too, you look at the last 2.5 years, you've basically been kind of you've been the assistant coach for sure, but you've also kind of been through a 2-year internship or 2.5 year internship on how to become the head coach. You've taken over just as an assistant. You've had a lot of responsibilities with some of the travel, with the recruiting. You were working penalty kill with the defense, so you've kind of taken a lot of underneath your wing, obviously, a big selling point as well. It's like, hey, look, I'm here already. I know the guys, I know the systems, and we can get ready to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think anytime you're able to hire within, the transition is pretty seamless, and I had a hand in the recruiting process from day one with all these players we have coming in, and it's exciting for me, and it's exciting for them as well. So it's a familiar voice on the other end of the line, and they know not a whole lot's changed as far as the game plan and the way we want to execute this season. So for a level of comfort for our players as well as our organization to be able to step in and know exactly what we're doing, I think we have an advantage, and expecting it to be seamless and move forward right away.
What's been one of the bigger changes for you? Obviously, taking on the head coach title is a big change, but obviously there's now additional duties that come with being the head coach that maybe weren't there before.
Yeah, I think something Brad and I always try to do is, try and balance things out in a lot of ways with some of the recruiting and how we were targeting players, as well as, taking different duties, administrative work off each other's plates. So, right now, it's definitely the primary focus is to keep recruiting, keep going after high-end players, and keep building a team that's going to be successful. As far as some of the other stuff, those duties are necessary to get done. When you talk about travel and arranging things on the road for the season, but like you said, fortunately, I've been doing that the last couple seasons anyways, and got a good handle on it, and right now the target is continuing to build this team.
One of the big things that can stay the same from last season to this season is the Dallas Stars, the Texas Stars. They signed back on officially for another year as the affiliate. There was some talk, at least on our show, that perhaps Allen being a little bit better located to where Texas is, may have been able to push that. That didn't happen. So Dallas and Texas remaining as part of the organization in terms of affiliation, that's got to be well, because I'm sure you're familiar with Scott Wade and everybody up there in Texas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's great that we're back with that affiliation with Dallas and Texas. And, we have a very open relationship, and it's great bouncing ideas off those guys and vice versa. And to continue that affiliation, I think it's great for our organization, and we look forward to working with them this season as well.
One of the big things that you see with the ECHL is that the head coaches generally work with the forwards during the game, you won't try to defend. Is that something that you see changing, where you'll move up, if you will, to work with the forwards, or will you stay during the defensive end of the game, or is that still kind of up in the air depending on how things settle out with assistant coaches and things like that?
No, absolutely. I played forward my entire career,
right.
So I am a natural forward, and if anything, I feel fortunate to get that opportunity to work with the defense for the last 3 seasons. So I've been able to build more of a level of comfort working on the back end, and working with the forwards is what comes naturally. natural, and it's what I've known my whole life. So I'll definitely be working with the forwards, but also, you know, managing the defense and making sure everything is going smooth on that end. And you know, when I have my assistant coach come in, he'll work with the D, and he'll have a level of responsibility and experience with them as well, which I think will help the culture and help for a successful year.
And, I mean, I guess it's good on some level that we spotlight Alberta team, but that you are looking for an assistant coach to fill in and take some of the responsibilities. And one of the things, I actually talked about this with Daryl Hay about a month ago when I did an interview with him, is that you're starting to see the EPL teams pick up assistant coaches where 3 or 4 years ago, or even 5 or 6 when I first came out with the Steelheads, assistant coaches were rare. And now every team is picking these guys up. You probably kind of, you know, led the charge on that in terms of my knowledge of assistant coaches.
Yeah, I think about 3 years ago when I was brought in as an assistant, I think it was starting to get to the point where every team was having a step for, you know, one or two. And, you know, we're at the point now where, you know, it's crucial. It's great to have another set of eyes, you know, another set of ears to talk about ideas. And, you know, there's so many duties, non-hockey, hockey duties that, you know, it's just important to have an extra set of hands willing to help out. And I have an assistant, and he'll be coming in mid-September. We still have to immigrate him as Canadian, so we'll wait to announce his name until everything goes smooth with the immigration, but definitely excited to have him. I know he's going to do a terrific job.
Do you think, and I'll kind of stay on this tangent for a couple of minutes, do you think that we're starting to get to an area with the ECHL where you're going to have a lot more homegrown head coaches? And by that, I mean you're going to have, you know, your past assistant and a promotion to head coach. Brad Al came from the ECHL, wasn't known commodity in the ECHL. Marty Sartre before that came from the WHL. I'm not exactly sure. I think where Derek Laswell came from, I asked him, and he came from the Central Athletes. Do you have coaches coming from outside in? Do you think that perhaps you're starting to lead another charge where you're going to see assistant coaches promote up to head coach here?
Well, I don't believe the charge. It's definitely, there's been several coaches that have done that prior to my hire as well, with Spencer Carberry, South Carolina, and Brian Grass in Greenville. So, I mean, it's definitely been happening. And, you know, whether or not that's a continued trend or not, I mean, you know, I think it's different between each organization and, you know, what they're looking for and that fit their current needs at that time. So, you know, I'm sure we'll continue to see teams hire from within and, you know, outsource between the Western Hockey League and Major Junior, as well as, you know, the Southern Professional Hockey League, and, you know, all various types. So, it's going to be a starting trend. I don't know about that, but, you know, I think it just varies organization to organization.
But I think it's always good too, especially in a situation where you're late during the season or you're late during a recruiting period, if a better opportunity comes up for any head coach. Hey, you know, we already have a guy in house and know how we run our business side. And I know Brad and Ralph talk about it all the time, but can you maybe speak to how important is it just to have the knowledge of the behind the scenes stuff, especially here at the ECHL? I mean, the NHL guys, they do a lot of work, but they're primarily focused on, hey, it's not to worry about immigration like you're worried about or the budget or anything like that. But to have that knowledge certainly has to be a big selling point, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you nailed it on the head where, you know, each organization has, you know, different expectations for budget and how things are ran, and to be able to step right in into an organization I already, you know, feel comfortable with. I work with the front office on various things, including budgets and immigration, where, you know, that level of comfort's huge, and, you know, it's given me the ability to, you know, that stuff comes second nature at this point, and, you know, now I can focus on the coaching and building this roster.
Let's go back to the coaching side. Obviously, the business is important, but yep, Everyone's going to see the product on the ice. What's going to be the Neil Graham tweets that we're going to see, both, you know, maybe defensively and offensively? The last couple of seasons, I don't want to say the style of play was defensively, hey, we'll let them get shots as long as they're from the point because they're both in and will make the save. Is that something that we're going to see continue? Maybe more high-pressure defense, more active defense? Are we still kind of trying to see what our players are going to look like before we really make decisions on that?
You know, I don't even know if that was necessarily the game plan over the last season, about giving up those point shots. You know, I think a big thing for us was protecting the house. So, you know, if we're getting shots up on the perimeter more than anything, whether it's, you know, guys from the half marks or the boards, or, yeah, if they are a point shot, as long as, you know, we're protecting that house and keeping it to the outside, you know, those are saves we expect our goalie to have. As far as picking up rebounds and boxing out, you know, that's something we stress on the D and playing hard in front. And, you know, it'll be our job from there to, you know, clean out the rebounds as long as they're controlled by our goaltenders. You know, on the offensive side of the puck, we're going to play fast. You know, we're going to play up-tempo with a lot of speed and energy. And, you know, I don't expect a lot of that to change from, you know, what we saw last year, other than, you know, we have a lot of new faces coming in. And it'll be my job to make sure they're caught to speed and they can adjust quickly. And, you know, we're going to have another successful team that's high offensive.
Well, I know the fans here in Idaho, and we talk about all the time, they really expect to have a team that's contending in the playoffs and possibly for championships. And I think the systems that we have had over the past few seasons, they've worked well. I mean, rather than two of the top seasons in Steelers history, you've been part of all three of those seasons that he was here. So I think it's a good thing to hear the high tempo is going to be there. And then obviously, of course, the signings and what the roster ultimately looks like will dictate some of how you can play on the ice, because you can't always fit, you know, the square peg in the round hole.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely something I look at when we're recruiting is, you know, we go after high character people that, you know, former leaders on their old teams. And, you know, it's something that we feel like the more we build our culture in our dressing room and bring in the right character and the right types of people. And, you know, obviously there's an element where we're, you know, looking for certain things and certain holes in the roster, but, you know, with what we're going to have this year, you know, it's shaping up well. You know, the guys that we have signed, you know, they fit within our systems, and, you know, that's not by mistake.
Right.
We target those guys that, you know, we know can play within a mold and a model that's going to be successful at this level, and, you know, I expect no different this year.
I would like to point out, I know we've done a couple different interviews, I always mention all the whiteboards around the office.
Yeah.
And perhaps because we're getting closer to September now, the whiteboards have mostly have gone away, so that's the positive thing that you're kind of narrowing down for the start of the season. Of course, I'm sure there's an Excel spreadsheet somewhere with guys whose phone number you have on speed dial in case you get the inevitable calls or injuries as well.
Well, no, it's funny you say that, John, but I just switched offices mid last week. I probably worked the first 3 days out of my old office just because I was on the phones all day. And if we moved one over, I think you'd see a lot of watch lists and whiteboards. And, you know, like you said, I mean, we still have a few key signings that we're trying to get done here. And, you know, we've narrowed it down to some players. And, you know, it's an exciting time. You know, we want guys that want to be in Idaho. You know, they want to win. They want to contend for a Kelly Cup. And, you know, targeting the right players to come in and help build that identity. It's an exciting time, and it's going to be an exciting year for this organization.
We've talked a little bit about the 5-on-5 play, or at least generally about how the team's going to play this year. You were integral with the penalty kill work over the last couple seasons. The penalty kill much better towards the end of last season than the beginning, but a lot of that, I think, has to do with players getting used to each other, as we talked about on the show during the start of last season. Are you going to continue penalty kill work, or are you going to, again, move up to the power play, or does your assistant coach come in and maybe have some power play experience as well?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think just like when Brad and I work together, you know, it's going to be an open room for the coaching staff to bounce ideas off each other. And, you know, I'll have a certain expectation and a certain style that I'd like on both special teams. And ultimately, the penalty kill is something I'd like the assistant to take over as far as, you know, pre-scouting and directing our players. But, you know, just like anything, he's going to have to be eased in and show him the way a little bit. But I've no... you know, I have full confidence in him that, you know, he's going to feel very comfortable. He knows these systems, and he's going to do a great job on that. And as far as the power play, you know, I'm excited to, you know, maybe add a little twist to a few things and, you know, move things around a little bit. It's going to be great.
Are you looking at possibly doing 4 forwards most of the time?
You know, I don't want to, you know, say yes to that now. I think a lot of it, as we're still building the last couple pieces of the team, you know, you work with what you have, and, you know, depending on some of the defense we still bring and some of the forwards, you know, that's going to dictate the way the type of power play we run. And, you know, whether it's 3 forwards and 2D or 4 forwards and 1D, you know, I expect the high puck movement, a lot of movement within our power play, not just the puck, but the way we're going to move our systems around. But I don't want to give too much away at this point, as we're still trying to sort a few things out roster wise.
Let's talk a little bit about the roster and all the off-season stuff. It takes a while. You have to get through the ascending roster and the qualifying list, and you get out to players, and we're starting to get to the point where some of the qualifying offers, if you think players have gone overseas or they're still waiting their options at AHL or two-way deals, things like that. But some players have come signed with the team. We'll talk about the players that were before you, but I want to ask a specific question about Corbin Baldwin when we get to him. But you look at before you took over as head coach, Jake Rutt, Daniel Johnson, Jake, a returning player from last year, obviously guy comes in and really acclimated himself well on the team at the end of the year.
Yeah, they're both defensemen, those guys, and Jake Rutt. He came in for, I believe it was 12 games of regular season, stepped in, logged big minutes. I think he was plus 12. Stepped up his game, played in playoffs. You know, he's a physical kid, moves his feet well, and, he has more offensive upside than, I think people saw at the end of last season as well. So, extremely excited to have Jake back on board, and, he's going to be another big piece of the puzzle this year. Daniel Johnson, he was a guy we saw 2 years ago in Colorado. He was only 20, just came out of the Western League at that point, but a big kid, plays tough, but good shot, and I'm excited to have both those guys on our back end.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Johnson. This was in Evansville last year, Colorado, at the beginning of the year. I don't know if they came in here before he had left, but I know from watching him, big kid, a big shot, and certainly one of those guys. And I'll put words in your mouth, a guy that you might be able to put back on the point for a power play, just beating the puck and say, hey, fire away. But again, if you talk about kind of remains, you've seen a little bit. Looking at the forwards that were signed again pre the Neil Graham era, Chase Grant and Jake Fallon. We'll talk about those two. Chase Grant coming from Minnesota State and Jake Fallon from the University of Vermont. What are some of the things you saw with those guys throughout the whole recruiting and staff process?
Yeah, well, I mean, Chase Grant, he's a captain of Mankato. They were the number one team in the nation last year. Successful program. He spent 5 years there at Mankato. And, he's a high character kid, works hard. Sticks his nose in there, goes to the dirty areas, and has some offensive upside to his game as well. So definitely excited to get him in here. He's going to be leading by example, day in, day out, working hard, and he's going to fit right into the mold. Jake Fallon, he finished his collegiate career at Vermont. I believe he started out at Michigan, but he's a Texas-born player, and he can play with the speed and pace that we look for, and he has some offensive upside to add to his game as well.
You mentioned Grant being the captain. Goes back to kind of the leadership quality kind of players that you go out and look who's going to fit in the room and not show both in the room and on the ice. The leadership skills and kind of try and create that commitment in the locker room.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the more leaders and good quality people, high character that you can bring in here, you can't surround yourself with enough of those kind of good people.
And then the last player, again, before you come in, Rob Linsmeyer, he's officially returning, had a cameo appearance during last season, unfortunately injury after a handful of games, knocked him back out after he got over some injuries at the beginning of the year. He'll be coming back. Still under the regular games, hasn't even come close to the veteran games yet, if I did some math correctly. But again, another one of those character guys you're back into the room.
Yeah, no, I mean, what you're going to get from Lindsay every night. He works hard, he plays north-south games, he's physical, competes. There's not much, there's not a lot of surprises. He's going to show up every night and give you that same consistent effort. He can play in all situations. We use him on the power plays. We use him a lot on the penalty kill. So to bring a guy with that kind of value back, it's definitely exciting for us.
And then the first player announced by Neil Graham as the director of hockey operations, Corbin Baldwin. Before I talk about him, what was it like seeing your name top of the press release for the first time? I actually had that tag next to you.
You know what, Sean? It's been a busy week, and I probably didn't even give it too much thought, to be honest. It's my focus right now is finding the next guy, making sure we're still building the team that we want for this season. And I think it's more exciting to bring in a player like Corbin Baldwin. Big kid, 6'5". Not afraid to use his size out there. He has some toughness, and again, he's another guy that he's a leader, and he'll lead by example. And with his reach on the back end, on the defensive side of the puck, and his ability to block shots and play physical, it's a great addition for us.
Yeah, knowing what else is on the back end in terms of defensemen with Johnson and Baldwin, you have two tall trees back there. And, you talked about protecting the house as kind of being one of your go-to things on the defensive end. And those two guys certainly would be able to do that, and you'd hope be able to pick up those rebounds with your long reach. Corbin Baldwin, in relation to Corbin Baldwin, who was here a couple of years ago, he's actually now over Steve, I believe, playing with Sheffield, where he was last year. last year. I don't know if he's still there. But it was Baldwin, a guy we know from Alaska, had some time with the Iowa Wild, so he certainly had that pedigree of game experience as well.
Yeah, no. You know, he played, I don't know what the exact number is, but he played a full season in the American League with Iowa and had a good season there. And I think, I don't know what the exact number of stats were, but I know he was in the lineup contributing every night and, you know, played a mean, tough, steady game. And, you know, I don't expect that to change at our level, you know. He's definitely going to add a little more offensive upside than I'm sure they saw in Iowa. But, you know, with his reach and his ability to play tough in front of the net, you know, it's a huge pickup for us.
And then one name out of the Steelheads fans are certainly happy to have back, and this is kind of, this is probably the biggest thing because of the recognizability. Colton Benson coming back for another season, offensive skilled player, possibly top line guy. Certainly, I think top power play unit if I had to pencil in somewhere. But talk about Colton Benson coming back again.
Yeah, extremely excited to have Colton back on board. You know, he was a first year player last year who really came into his own. Really from Christmas on, and you know, you could argue he was our most consistent best player down the stretch and right through playoffs. And to get a player, like we talk about a lot, his character and you know, work ethic, to get a player like that back, and you know, other guys to look up to, and you know, he's a guy that's going to go to war for you every night. I think he's, you know, 5'11", you know, maybe 195 pounds, and you know, he's the first one in the corner. He's battling in that front, and to bring him back is, you know, terrific. Extremely excited to have him back on board.
Yeah, when we talked to Brad Ruffey in the last season, and we knew it was going to be a tough off season because of the number of guys that are going to be leaving, and we don't go over that list, but we get a guy like Beck in there, and a guy like Rob Lynch. Why don't you bring in experience with Johnson and Ball, and just with the early signings, the core of the team, at least the beginnings of the roster at minimum, is starting to come together. And obviously, seven players is hard to tell what the team's going to look like. But a nice first set, you only end up having 20 career or so on the roster, so you're just about a third of the way there.
Yeah, we definitely, you know, have some guys targeted, and you know, at this point in the summer, you know, it's more about being patient and making sure they're the right guys that we talk about. You know, you don't want to just grab anyone. So, you know, everyone we bring in, there's a plan of attack and a reason for why we bring those players in, and it's not going to change the rest of the summer. Grab guys that are going to fit a specific role, and you know, versatility is huge for them to play. You know, wear a lot of different hats, and you know, if they start the year as a third liner, then you know, potentially they're playing second first line come Christmas. And you know, we're going to have a deep team, and I expect guys to be able to handle a lot of different roles.
I think too, where we are in the offseason, we're not going to see a lot of guys signing overseas immediately. It's going to probably be that first wave, always going to be end of October, early November, where players kind of get in, they start getting a lot of points. The European League just kind of started up here at the end of August. That's going to kind of be their Christmas wave, if you will, the end of October, early November, where players start looking to go. I know it's a good start. AHL is not calling. I'm getting a call from overseas. I'm going to bail out, so you really have to be.
Well, it's something we look for in our players. You know, we've had a good track record of, I don't believe in our figure, we've had a player leave us mid-year to go overseas. We had 10 players off last year's team already signed in Europe.
Right.
So, you know, that's a big chunk of our core group from last year. So, you know, the guys that we're targeting now and the guys that are coming back are guys that want to be here. You know, they want to win in Idaho, and, you know, we're going to have a successful year. So, you know, guys are going to get off to good starts. Guys are going to get, you know, their opportunity in the American League, and ultimately, you know, we're going to win a lot of games in Idaho. So, you know, I expect guys to, you know, get those calls in the American League, but also expect them to compete and show up every night here in Boise.
Well, Neil, first I'm wondering, I'm sure the first one to say congratulations, but once again, congratulations on the promotion to head coach, and certainly the best of luck. I look forward to having one of the better teams in the house right down there between the benches to volley along, and let you give me the gears a little bit, and I'll let you in on the phone, see how my little replay screen. But congratulations, certainly a job earned, a job taken when the opportunity came up, and best of luck here as we move towards the beginning of the season.
Yeah, thanks a lot, John. I appreciate you coming down today, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Been talking to head coach of the Idaho Steelheads, Neil Grant, here on 2 Sports Plus. Make sure you check out our regularly scheduled podcast right below and right above this one. Thanks. So long.